God's truth for the lie. Satan's lie meant to destroy us. Don't be deceived. Ultimately, we are exchanging something that has eternal results with God forever, or separated from Him forever. And so this is a biblical principle that we need to do what God says to do and don't do what He says not to do. And the Bible says when we do what He says to do, that there will be blessing. Otherwise, there will be curse. Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your truth. We thank You that it is so relevant to us, and I pray that as we look at these verses today, that it truly would be life-changing for us. I pray that it would give those of us who know Jesus as Lord great understanding of those who don't know Jesus as Lord. That we would have great compassion, just like Jesus when He saw the people they looked like sheep without a shepherd, and He had great compassion on them. That's what He wants to do through us. So may we not go around condemning people. It's okay to condemn sin. Sin is sin. We need to call it that. But may we have great compassion for the people who are practicing sin. May we realize their nature needs to be changed, and their sins need to be forgiven, and they can walk in newness of life. And so thank You that we have the answer. We pray that as we look at this passage today again, that it would all fall into place, this wonderful truth that You've given to us. And we pray these things in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Almost all of us, and I suppose that there's not very many people who don't have a friendship or maybe somebody in your family who practice a sexually immoral lifestyle, or who are living in a gay relationship, or who are, as the Bible said, they are practicing greed, they are full of envy, strife, deceit, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insulting, arrogant, boastful, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, unmerciful. We probably all have some friends, maybe family members, who are dealing with those practices. And the Bible would indicate that we are to reach out to these people in God's love. We can only do it in His strength. But they shouldn't be signs of us rejecting that friendship. It just gives us great understanding of who we're dealing with. And the Bible would indicate that all those things that I mentioned here that are talked about in the passage in Romans 1 are signs. They are results of one sin. And that one sin is suppressing God's truth. Each person knows truth about God, but they put it in a box. They suppress it. It means they hold it down. God has good news for them and for us, but first He's going to do whatever it takes to get our attention, to get their attention. And it's helpful to understand this, and I had somebody ask me last week, I've had several people ask me about this, and they have a problem with differentiating between a person's nature and their flesh. The Bible says that each person is made up of body, soul, and spirit. The spirit, the human spirit, or I call it the nature or the identity. Sometimes the Bible calls it the heart of a person. At the very core of a person, it's who that person is. It's not what they do, it's who they are. We're looking at the spirit here. And the Bible indicates either a person is a sinner by nature, or they are a saint or holy one by nature. there's not a third option. So every person, who they are, is they are either a sinner by nature or a saint by nature. The soul is made up of the mind, emotions, and will. It's your thinking, your feelings, your choices you make. That's the soul. And the Bible says our minds are to be renewed, and we're to, in the spirit strength as Christians, we're to make good choices. It plays an important part. Our feelings are not to be leaders of a person. They're simply, God has made us with feelings, but they're to be followers, not leaders. The body or the flesh that's talked about in this, and that's what we're mainly seeing here in this passage, is these fleshly techniques by trying to get their needs met. The flesh is just the various ways to express who we are. That's the reason for a Christian to sin is contrary to the new person they are, contrary to the saint that God has made you. And so it's really important to grasp it. But for the person who's not a follower of Jesus, who doesn't know Jesus as Lord, who by faith has not received him, those people, their flesh, I call them flesh patterns, but their flesh is expressing who they are, sinners by nature. So don't try and make the flesh and the nature identical. The flesh is not who we are. The flesh is simply a demonstration or a display of who we are. So Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, that's been our study for the last 3 weeks, and we're closing that out today, but it's addressed to the unbeliever. It's addressed to the person who is a sinner by nature, which results in different fleshly practices. And this person, this one who's a sinner by nature, this person needs Jesus as Lord, and in order to be able to walk in victory over their fleshly patterns, they need to learn how to walk in the Holy Spirit's strength. And so God's wrath that's being poured out, and I call it his loving wrath. It's an expression by God to get somebody's attention. And so out of God's love, he pours out his wrath against all ungodliness, and he sins against God, and unrighteousness, that means sins against your fellow man. He pours out his wrath against that. God's wrath in this passage is simply letting a person choose his or her own way. This is to show us, when we see his wrath being poured out, this is to show us that we can't live, we can't experience life as he designed us to experience it without him. He made us. We are his creation. He made us to need him, to depend upon him, to enjoy fellowship with him. We are his creation. He is our creator. He designed us to enjoy fellowship with him. But when we suppress his truth, we see these different results that are showing up in our society today. Just a quick note here. God's wrath is not poured out against the saint, the person who is a holy one by nature. It tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that through Jesus we are saved from the wrath of God. Can the Christian still choose to walk by the flesh? And by the way, your flesh patterns don't change when you become a Christian. You're still temptable, and you know if your temptation is sexual lust, then you're still tempted. You're still temptable in that area. If it's lying or deceit, then you're still temptable in that area. Our flesh didn't change, even though our natures were completely changed. So we can, as Christians, choose to walk by the flesh, but when we do, the Bible says instead of the wrath of God, we experience the discipline of God. It's the discipline of a loving father. And this is to bring us to our senses, to remember who he is and who we are in Christ. Remember your identity now as a Christian. And to rely upon the Holy Spirit to experience life. And so the need for both the believer and the unbeliever is to repent of our sins and to believe in Jesus. And so you look at these verses, and the verses we're looking at today, 28 through 32 of Romans chapter 1, you see the chaos brought about in human relations because of suppressing God's truth, which is the ultimate sin. And I'd just like to give you these points as we begin, so please grab your handout if you have that and fill in these points. The first sign of a godless, unjust, and idolatrous society is dishonored bodies. These people are only interested in the flesh of others or themselves. It's all about sexually immoral relationships. So this person has suppressed God's truth. God pours out his wrath. And they experience the results of their choices. And the first thing to go, really, after the idolatry is these dishonored bodies. The second sign of a godless, unjust, idolatrous society is degrading passions. And we saw that last week where men with men were practicing indecent acts and women with women. It's these degrading passions. They are not natural. They're not even God-given desires. And the third sign of a godless, unjust, and idolatrous society is depraved thinking. Their minds don't think right. And keep in mind, as we look at these different results, that these are results. They're results of the ultimate sin of the choices to suppress God's truth. And you say, well, what about these people? Well, the Bible says that they are suppressing the truth and unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them. God made it evident to them. And his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. And then verse 21, for even though they knew God, see, this is not an ignorant person. And they made the choice. All these are choices. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible, imperishable, immortal God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In verse 25, they exchange the truth of God, which they have. They have some truth. Every person has some truth about God. They exchange the truth of God for the lie. In verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, that means they knew God. They knew he existed. They knew he was powerful. That's at the very minimum. In verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give already approval to those who practice it. These are choices. Intentional, deliberate choices that people are making. It's not an ignorance issue. It's a rejection. It's a suppression of God's truth that they know. Let's just run through this, and I'll try and be brief as we just read through verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And we saw that God writes his words on a person's heart, so they have truth about God within, and also from creation, as you see in verse 20. Therefore, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. They can't say, oh, God, I didn't know. I just never knew anything about you. For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him. Again, choice. They did not honor him as God. Choice. They did not give thanks. But choice. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory. Here's that exchange we talked about earlier. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, after idolatry, so the first thing you see is idolatry. It's actually a sign of rejecting God, not of seeking God. It's a sign of rejecting God. And so verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust, so the desires of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural or against nature. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent or insulting, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. If that isn't a description of our world today, I don't know where it is. And it's so interesting to me, if you look at this like in a progression or a sequence, you see the first thing that goes is their worship of God, not honoring him as God or giving thanks, but instead they become idolaters. They worship the creature. The second thing to go is the bodies. They're dishonored. They practice impurity. It involves any sex, any sexual relationship outside of the marriage relationship. And here we have people today encouraging, sex before marriage. Well, you got to find out if you're compatible or not. What a ridiculous statement. And you have people, in schools, they pass out condoms so that they can practice sexual immorality. They not only accept the practice, but they actually encourage it. And so after the dishonored bodies, then you have these degrading passions that we talked about in detail last week. But the final outcome of rejecting God and his truth is not sexual sin. It's interesting. It's the sins of the soul. It's social disintegration. When people actually not only accept sins, they actually applaud sins. Sins of themselves and others. And it says there, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, in other words, they gave God up, so he gave them over. He let them suffer the consequences of their choices. The ultimate choice was to suppress God's truth. Remember, that's the sin that we as Christians talk about. Because that's the basic issue. And the words there, they did not see fit means they put the biblical God to the test and decided he wasn't worth knowing. They didn't approve of God because he didn't meet their specifications. And for a third time, God gives them over to a depraved mind. It means an unfit. It's a not approved mind. It's a mind that refuses to fit into any kind of society. A depraved mind can't distinguish between godly right and wrong. And on your handout, since they didn't approve of God, they became susceptible to any and all forms of evil. Even the basic bonds that can hold a society together are shattered. And that's what we see going on. So suppression of God's truth results in or is proven by idolatry, dishonored bodies, degraded passions, and these depraved minds. Depravity of mind here is revealed in specific behaviors. Someone called it the darkness of unrestrained animal-like impulses. That's what they're acting like. And in verses 29 through 31, and again, this is on your handout, you have the marks of individuals and a society nearing collapse, reflected in their disregard for other human beings. And once God is rejected and his truth is suppressed, then the individual and the civilization collapses. See, that's the path we're on today. That's the reason that if a person who's practicing sex outside of marriage stops that, that doesn't change who they are. And that's what's needed. And only God supplies that. Only God can provide that. And he does. Such good news. Filled with all unrighteousness. Remember, he pours out his wrath against ungodliness, unrighteousness. Here's that word again. Unrighteousness just means the absence of what is just. There's no justice. Wickedness, the word wickedness means depravity, bad. Greed is literally a desire to have more. It's kind of the relentless urge to acquire more. It doesn't matter how little you have or how much you have. You see some people who just practice greed. Evil is a deliberate desire to injure. It's kind of the idea of a vicious disposition. It's even used to describe Satan. Full of envy means they desire to deprive another of what he has. They can't stand it that someone else has something that they don't. Even goodness or love in others, they don't necessarily want to practice that because they've suppressed God's truth, but they don't want others to practice it either. They're full of envy. Murder, it's the deliberate taking of another's innocent life. According to the scripture, only government has the God-given authority to take a guilty person's life. Strife means quarrels, contention. Deceit literally means a snare or a bait, but it has the idea of crafty cunning. Malice has it's kind of an evil perspective that tends to put the worst construction on everything. They never find anything good no matter what somebody does. They always put the worst construction on it. Boy, do we see that being practiced today. Man. They're just out to destroy. Gossips, that's the idea of secret slanderers. They delight in destroying reputations of others. Slanderers, that's a person who speaks openly against others. haters of God. It means hateful to God or a God hater. They basically want to eliminate him. Not only do they want to suppress his truth, they want to eliminate God himself. Insolent, you consider yourself, the word means insulting, but you consider yourself above God. You consider yourself above everyone else. You consider yourself above any rebuke. You can't tell me what to do and what not to do. They consider themselves above any standards. Arrogant means to show oneself above others, proud. It's an overestimation of oneself. And the arrogant person delights in making others feel small. Boastful, swaggerers, empty pretenders, literally one who wanders about, just kind of have no idea what they're doing. Remember, they have these depraved minds. This is what depraved thinking leads to. Inventors of evil is an interesting word because it means you come up with new forms of evil. You aren't satisfied with the old. You are trying to always develop new forms of evil. And that shows up in senseless and vicious and unprovoked attacks. And I think of, you know, today, I think of child abuse. And I think of rape. And I think of abortion. To believe that we've actually legalized that, the taking of another person's life. And we even encourage it. Disobedient to parents, it means unwilling to be persuaded. It means they know the truth, but they're not willing to be persuaded by the truth. So it's a deliberate rejection of their parents. Without understanding means senseless. It means not to understand. They don't learn from experience. They don't use the minds that God originally gave them. They have depraved thinking. They're untrustworthy. They don't keep their word. They're faithless. They're breakers of agreements. They're unloving, without natural affection, human affection. It's not the word agape there, which means God's kind of love. It's a family kind of love. That they're without this. They don't love their families. They don't have this natural affection for those in their family. Unmerciful means without mercy, no help for the helpless. They don't value mercy. In fact, they regard it as a weakness. And on your handout, I wrote these words. These sins are not the result of sudden yielding to temptation, but are indulged in deliberately. They aren't due to ignorance, but to self-will and rebellion. These are evidences on your handout again. These are evidences of an individual or society without God. And you look at this and you realize the shame of the individual or the shame of the society that's practicing these things should be overwhelming, that there should be a repentance and a turning to God. God, I need you. I can't live without you. I'm proving that by just the way I'm responding in situations. It should be a reaching out for deliverance, but such is not the case. In fact, in verse 32, it says, "And although they know the ordinance of God," they know God's word, "that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them." These people do not lack a sufficient knowledge of God or his truth, and yet what God stands for is everything they are not. And the final point on the handout, these actions are a defiant revolt against the righteous God. They don't repent, they celebrate. They don't regret, they applaud. Callous to sin, all sensitivity is gone. And they try and spread their practices through the fields of education and the media They seek legal status for their practices. They have parades. They politics, you know, the demanding rights. It's my right to practice this particular sin, what the Bible calls sin. And today, sinning is not only ceasing to be taboo, it's becoming politically correct. So spirit and body and soul, the human race has regressed. I had progress, but it isn't progressing. It's regressing from knowing the truth about God to living in depravity. They are worthy of death, but they continue. On your handout, and if you haven't been filling anything, if you'd follow along on your handout with the conclusion, I'd like for you to, because I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs there. If I get through this quickly, we might have about 10 minutes for questions. And I'll call Kurt up here, or Don, and ask them to answer them. Why does God give individuals and civilizations over to these kind of practices? First, it's right. It's right for a holy, just judge to reveal his wrath against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. In fact, it would be wrong if he didn't take action. It would not be loving. Second, to reveal that mankind has suppressed his truth. Third, to make people realize their need of deliverance. It's only when darkness is encountered that we're able to see the need for light. You see, it's only when the dark background of human rebellion is understood can we begin to appreciate the grace, the undeserved favor of God. God made a way to break through suppressing his truth, dishonored bodies, degrading passions, depraved mind, and the way, his name is Jesus. And that Matthew 21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's the Jewish Messiah. He's the Lord of all. He's our Savior and Lord Jesus. He's our hope for victory over our sinful natures and these sins of the flesh. God will not lead those who are his own down the path of Romans 1, 18 through 32, but down the paths of righteousness, right living, right thinking, right actions, right words, right choices. So to non-Christians, God is drawing those individuals to repentance, belief, and a father-child relationship with him. As Christians, when we don't follow him, look at the fellowship with him and his glory that we're missing out on. Fellowship we were created to enjoy forever. Our created purpose is to be a dwelling place for God to live out the essence of who he is through us. What worth and value each person, every person, no matter their sins, no matter how bad of a sinner they are, what worth and value each person has in God's sight. The Bible says only human beings were made in his likeness and image. And he breathed life into human beings. And that's those people who we know who are practicing these things, these sins. God's wrath going on here. God's wrath and the inevitable results get our attention and bring understanding to what is happening in the world today. They show people their need of Jesus. And may we as Christians, may we have great compassion for those who are ensnared by the devil by faith, practicing those verses we looked at last week in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let me just read them again. The Lord's bondservant, this is every Christian, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, you know, share God's truth, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Not quarrelsome, kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. So let us first respond to God ourselves, our Lord Jesus, and then share his good news with others. We need to look at our society and say, what a great time to live. People may not know it, but everyone is crying out in need. It's being revealed by their practices, their thinking. And though we have to confront a world that is destroying itself by sin, we do so with the Lord and a message that are life-giving and life-changing. It's the greatest love story. When a person becomes a Christian, God takes that person and takes the old person you were in Adam, the old nature, a sinner by nature, he takes that and he kills it. And he gives us a new heart. And makes us his new creation, something that's never existed before. He makes us brand new. He makes us a saint by nature, a holy one. And so it's the greatest love story that we can share. Jesus took care of the sin issues. And so understand this, the most wicked person you know, the most wicked sin of which we as individuals and or as a nation are guilty, the awful hidden things that are ours and no one else knows about. Later on in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, when according to my gospel, the good news of Jesus, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. All these were dealt with on the cross by Jesus. And the good news, as we saw in verses 16 and 17 in Romans chapter 1, the good news is the power of God for salvation to everyone. You know, underline it, italicize it, bold it, make it as clear as you know how to make it, so that to everyone who believes. And so we need to worship our God and proclaim his truth. Came across this quote that it's so amazing, and it's true for Christians, but also for the church. The world will never be reached by a church that looks more like the unsaved than the saved. And so you have all these churches today, they're accepting sins, putting them in the pulpit, and saying it's okay, and encouraging others to do these things. And you could also say the world will never be reached by a Christian that looks more like the unsaved than the saved. And so how do you need to make these truths practical in your life? As always, after our every service, if anybody would like to pray with somebody, we have people up here in front that that would love to pray with you. Could be any. It could be something from the message. It could be maybe you don't know this Lord Jesus, and you can have them pray for you. It may be something not even related to what we've been talking about. You need prayer for something that's on your heart. Have that. Father, thank you for the good news. It's been revealed. Your good news of salvation has been revealed. But in order to truly understand and appreciate the good news, we have to hear the bad news first. And so in this case of God versus the person who doesn't, the person who doesn't know you as Father and Jesus as Lord, the bad news is that your wrath is poured out against their ungodliness and their unrighteousness because they've suppressed your truth. That's the sin. May we go away with that. May we not get on the case of how particular flesh patterns show up, but may we go away with the real issue here, and that is they have suppressed truth you have given them. And so may we always come back to that. And thank you for these many proofs or evidences or results that we see going on in society, just like your word talks about. We're living in a society like that. And maybe there's somebody here this morning who is practicing these things and needs Jesus as Lord. And I pray today is the day of salvation for that person. And if we are Christians, if we truly are saints by nature, I pray that we would see that operating by the flesh or carrying out any of these flesh patterns as a Christian is awful. It doesn't reveal who you've made us. It's contrary, or it's walking contrary to the new persons we are in Christ. May we understand that. And so may we not try to justify it or legalize it or praise others who are practicing it. May we understand this is just a person who's rejecting God's truth at that moment. So thanks for this passage. May this series have had really profound impact on our thinking. May we recognize the faults when we see it and when we hear it. And may we take steps to make sure that we're relying upon you and finding life in you alone. Thank you that you only want what is best for us. And we thank you in Jesus' name.